Ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages, welcome to the most extravagant extravaganza.
Is everybody in? The ceremony is about to begin.
And here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is gonna be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect, we couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening, hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English, do you speak it?
Yes.
Then you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
And welcome, everybody, to the Weekend Sports Report. I am Packer Dave. Glad to be with you today. We've got a lot coming up on the show. We're going to talk a bit about the Packers here coming up, their win over New England, and their upcoming game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll talk NFC North in our next segment. We'll bring in Steve Leventhal from Chicago. We'll hear audio from John Fox, Matt Forte of the Bears, and then talk about how the rest of the division may shape up this year. So a lot to look forward to in that segment. Then later in the program, we're going to talk baseball, teams that are surprises, teams that are disappointing in the major leagues right now. Also players that are doing well and some that aren't doing as well as maybe they should have been at this point in the season. We'll talk a bit about the NHL season coming up not too far away. We'll talk about that with John Poulter from Toronto and also a little soccer discussion at the very end of the show. So a lot coming down here on the Weekend Sports Report, but Green Bay does beat New England in week one of the preseason. And week two, Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock Eastern time, noon Central, it's the Packers and the Steelers. And that game you can catch live on NFL Network. A rematch of the Super Bowl of a few years ago, but it doesn't quite have that meaning right now. And let's hear from Coach Mike McCarthy. You know, he's actually from Pittsburgh, and he talks about returning there to play against the Steelers coming up on Sunday.
You know, I think you have to really look at, you know, where we are. We're entering our second preseason week of training camp. You want to continue to create opportunities for players to increase their value, and you do that by giving guys opportunities, and that's no different for Donnie Barclay. And I mean, I know Brian Bulaga can play left tackle. I mean, that's something that we practice all the time, but I mean, this is an opportunity for players to increase their value. Going back to Pittsburgh is always fun. I mean, it's you know, no place like home, and that'll, you know, it'll definitely be the case. You know, Saturday, the few hours I'll be able to spend at home. I mean, you know, my family lives, you know, 2 miles from downtown Pittsburgh, so you just catch the 56E if that still runs out of downtown Pittsburgh right there by the hotel we're staying. But yeah, it's fun. Definitely prefer to go there in the preseason, without a doubt. It's easier.
Okay, Mike McCarthy. David Bakhtiari, the tackle, is out probably just this one preseason game. So Bulaga moves to his spot and Don Barclay moves to Bulaga's spot. That's what he was talking about early in the cut. And now let's hear from Steelers coach Mike Tomlin. You know, it was hot all over the NFL training camps during the week. And Tomlin talks about that and some other things. Here's Mike Tomlin.
Another good work day for us today. I love the elements. It was hot and uncomfortable, but that's part of this process. Hopefully that aids in stressing them in some ways, make them concentrate and execute detail in the midst of it. We don't have control over the weather. It's just a good rep to deal with conditions like we had today. Good energy and enthusiasm. We're doing similar things that we've been doing. Guys working hard. Got some guys back positionally, continuing to work. Guys like Dan McCullough's working, Rob Golden, some other guys. Mike Mitchell continue to add to the work as they walk back from the injuries. But just good general work from an overall standpoint.
All right. So we got the Packers and the Steelers Sunday, 1 o'clock. If you've got NFL Network, 1 o'clock Eastern time, it is live. A few quarterbacks that had good play this week. Teddy Bridgewater looked very good against Tampa, and he'll be good on offense with Adrian Peterson. Look out for the Vikings. We're going to talk about that coming up in our NFC North segment. The Buffalo Bills going to be starting Tyrod Taylor. I saw him play. He looked impressive, and he may give Matt Cassel a run for his money as a starter in Buffalo this year. Matt Barkley looked pretty good. And, you know, they're going to have some decisions there in Philadelphia. They've got Barkley. They've got Tim Tebow. They've got Mark Sanchez and, of course, Sam Bradford. I'd cut Sanchez and keep the other three. But I don't think Chip Kelly's going to do that. And Chris Johnson goes to the Cardinals. He signs a one-year deal. So CJ2K going to Arizona. And did you see the Rams and the Cowboys practice and all the Rams fans in L.A.? They're looking for their team to come back. And we got Monday Night Football this week also, Cincinnati and Tampa. So a lot coming up. We'll talk NFC North with Steve Leventhal when we return on the program. You're listening to the Weekend Sports Report.
It's a common kitchen surface with a common problem. I'm Danny Lipper with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and I'll share a simple fix for loose laminate right after this.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Tens of thousands of kitchens in the United States have plastic laminate countertops. These tops have been around for decades, but over time, laminate edges have been known to pull away. It can be due to water damage, improper installation, or it's a corner that sees a lot of rough traffic and handling. Instead of waiting until someone inadvertently breaks it off, try this. Take a cotton cloth and place over the loose strip and use a hot iron without steam to reactivate the glue on the back. In many cases, this will be enough to make the piece stick again. But if there isn't enough glue to restick the piece, you can pick up a small bottle of contact adhesive at the hardware store that has a built-in brush. Gently pry the piece away from the edge, apply adhesive on both the edge and the back of the laminate, wait 60 seconds, then press back into place. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
If you want to stop moisture from coming into your home, think Ames. Apply Ames coatings to waterproof and protect roofs, basement walls, and decks. Ames adhesive high-strength elastomeric liquid rubber coatings are impenetrable. Extreme moisture protection. Look for the Ames Blue Max, Maximum Stretch, and Safety Deck brands at your local hardware store or see amesresearch.com. That's A-M-E-S research.com, amesresearch.com. Back on the Weekend Sports Report, Packer Dave along with Steve Leventhal. And the Bears get some bad news this week. And their seventh overall pick in the 2015 draft, the seventh overall pick, Kevin White, will begin the season on the team's physically unable to perform list and could miss the entire season. He had shin surgery this week. And so now, 2015 up in the air for him. Let's bring in from Chicago, Steve Leventhal. Steve, how are you?
Isn't that what you're on, Dave, the physically unable to perform list?
Sometimes if we record real late.
Or if it's after
Saturday.
Or if it's after happy hour.
On a Friday or Saturday. You know, and we talked about this last week, Steve, but now, you know, this is looking bad, and the Bears, you know, they got a good tight end in Bennett. They got another good receiver in Jeffrey. But, you know, here's a guy they're going to count on, and now they got some trouble at that position, it looks like to me.
A lot of passes to the tight end.
Okay, well, let's hear from the Bears here, Steve. And, of course, they're getting ready for the Colts this weekend. They scrimmaged in Indianapolis earlier in the week, and then they're going to play the Colts. So they've kind of hung out a little bit together, these two teams. Seems like you're seeing more of that around the league. But let's hear from Coach John Fox of the Bears.
Yeah, there's a lot of planning that goes into this. You know, we hit one late last night just in case there's inclement weather. You know, I think one half of the squads will stay at Lucas Oil, the other half will go to their facility. But, you know, they got field space enough to, you know, to accommodate, you know, everybody. And, you know, we've had guys there that advanced guys to help, you know, between the hotel, the, you know, the Lucas Oil and their facilities. So there's been a lot of planning, yes. It's important to see other people, how they do, you know, the styles of play. You know, they're a playoff team from a year ago. You know, and I know their staff pretty well. They're good guys, and look forward to be competitive and yet civil.
Do you think Bill Belichick cavorts with the enemy?
I don't know if he's done some of that back and forth. But it's preseason. I really don't care that much.
Bill Belichick. It's a regular season. Every game's a regular season for him.
Now let's hear Steve Matt Forte about training camp and kind of trying to pace himself during the preseason.
You know, not a whole lot, like the whole half or something, or a whole game, something like that. But you do have to get used to blocking guys full speed, you know, breaking tackles that way full speed, and get used to hitting people and getting hit that way. So it is pretty beneficial. You don't want to go into the season where you are kind of rusty when you haven't done any, you know, full speed tackling on in preseason.
Okay, so there's Matt Forte. It is the Bears and the Colts Saturday. And now to talk about the NFC North and more, we bring in from the Sports Byline USA Network. You can hear him Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at sportsbyline.com, and also one of the hosts of the suitsandlaterals.com podcast, Jeff Rich. Jeff, how are you today?
Good morning. You know, there's nothing I like more than discussing the black and blue, the NFC North of the National Football League.
All right. Do you do any of that on Suits and Laterals? First, tell people quickly what that is, and then we'll get into some of this football discussion.
Well, Suits and Laterals is about a half-hour weekly podcast hosted by myself. I'm joined each and every week by either Damian Bowman or Chris Green, and we take on the NFL from a couple different angles. We stay traditional. We talk about what happens on the field. But the Suits part of it is more about what the contracts, business dealings, legal proceedings, and you know, everything that you'd wear a suit to. And you probably wouldn't wear a suit unless you're Jack Del Rio on the sidelines of an NFL game. This last week, we talked at suitsandlaterals.com. You can find a lot of discussion on the Phillip Rivers contract extension and some of the backups that are on the cusp of actually playing meaningful football games, perhaps in the year 2016.
All right. I like seeing that San Diego signed Rivers to a 4-year deal. He's deserved it. I wish he'd get a Super Bowl.
Is Matt Barkley of Philadelphia one of those backups that might see some playing time in 2016?
No, I don't know that Philadelphia has a quarterback on their roster that might see some playing time in 2016. Let's let's wait and see with Sammy Bradford there. But they're not, if you've watched their game against the Colts, they had a lot of guys look perfect in vanilla offenses against vanilla defenses, but I'm not really sold on anyone there. I think that they're going to really regret getting rid of Nick Foles.
Well, the reason I bring that up was Matt Barkley, of course, played at USC, and his coach was one of Dave's favorites, Petey Red Bull. And playing in a pro-style offense, I've never seen a guy in college, very few, who could actually execute that, you know, 6-5-step, 7-step drawback, throwing to receivers, checking off. And yet, I don't know if it was just that shoulder injury he had as a senior year, but I'm very disappointed in his inability to get to that next level.
I think you nailed it right there. This guy, you know, was supposed to be the number two, if not the 1A, to Andrew Luck. And, you know, he ends up being a late round pick, you know, after the third round or after of the Philadelphia Eagles, and has a hard time getting on the field. This is a really sad story. And I think that I think it all traces back to him going back for his senior year.
Well, you might see, you know, I saw him play week one of the preseason, except for a bad decision, you know, throwing into a defensive lineman that got tipped and got intercepted. He looked real well and ran the offense well, and he looked a lot better than Tebow did in there. And he looked his progressions, you know, 1, 2, 3, and sometimes he'd go to the fourth guy. I think he's got a bright future if he'd get a chance, but he's been playing behind some big names for a few years. So maybe he's one of those guys that might see it, but maybe not in Philadelphia.
It's possible. I think he's got the tools. I just think that, I think that he might be lacking a little bit physically, and he just, you know, if nothing else, he lacks that it factor. And that's really a shame, because this guy came in with a lot of hype, and he really could have been a top 10 pick had he come out the year before.
All right, Jeff. Now, also, you're based in Arizona. Chris Johnson signs a one-year deal with the Cardinals. Should we be excited about that or no?
I don't think you should be excited about it. I think that it provides a little bit of relief for Andre Ellington, and the Rosarians will have the rare convenience of having two of the same type of back. Of course, Chris Johnson's best years are behind him, but yeah, he's got the same kind of running style as Ellington, and Ellington has proven that he can't stay healthy, and their depth chart at running back isn't strong. I mean, Chris Johnson was not a great player for the New York Jets and probably will not be anything like what he was in Tennessee with the Arizona Cardinals. But if he can pick up some chunks of yards on third down, if he can pick up blitzes and, you know, do the intangibles that don't show up on the stat sheets for running backs, that's what's important to BA here in Arizona. And that's how he's going to get on the field, and that's how he's going to lengthen his NFL career.
All right. Moving on to the NFC North, which is the topic of discussion for this segment. So you've got the Bears now down Kevin White, and, you know, offensively they have some firepower with Forte and some of the receivers that we mentioned before. Jay Cutler, if he can cut down on his interceptions. But defense is where they may have trouble, Jeff. So first, your outlook on the Bears.
My outlook on the Bears is they didn't make enough changes in the offseason to frankly right the ship of what the wasted vessel that floats is at sea, led by Mark Trestman. I think that their offense is going to be fine. I think they could survive losing Brandon Marshall. This Kevin White thing, I mean, I would have considered taking Kevin White above Amari Cooper, and Amari Cooper was supposed to be A+ in all categories in this last draft. The Bears didn't have that option. I think that they went with the best player available at a position of need, and it's really unfortunate. What a strange injury.
Yeah, and so Chicago, if you place them within the division, they probably would be considered the weakest team in the NFC North. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. I think that the other two, you know, of course, you have the Packers. They're the juggernaut. But Minnesota's only going to get better. I think Mike Zimmer's, changed the attitude in that locker room. The Detroit Lions, big loss on defense with Ndamukong Suh. But, Haloti Ngata is not a bad replacement there. They're going to suffer a little bit on defense. It's time to put up or shut up for Matthew Stafford. I think that it's interesting. We're talking about Rivers earlier, and San Diego's been just one of those average teams that finishes between 7-9 and 9-7 every year. And you look at where the drop off was. Philip Rivers' great years came when LaDainian Tomlinson was in that backfield. Now Abdullah is getting not compared, but mentioned in the same breath with Barry Sanders up there in Detroit. So you have to imagine that the Caldwell, Stafford, that receiving game, that offensive line has got to be happy that they've added another dimension to their offense.
He's been impressive so far, and they could certainly use the help. Now let's look at the Vikings. You touched on them. Teddy Bridgewater played very well the first week of the preseason against Tampa. Of course, once they hit the regular season, they'll have Adrian Peterson. Mike Wallace comes in from the Dolphins, and he's had good years in the past. So what are your thoughts on the Vikings offense as it sits right now?
Well, I think that Teddy Bridgewater lost a lot of draft stock because he didn't wear gloves at his pro day. I think the Vikings got an absolute steal. I think the Cleveland Browns fans are looking at that Johnny Manziel pick from 2 years ago saying this guy was available, and I think that Bridgewater's only going to get better. I don't know that it equals a playoff spot or anything, but I think Minnesota's playing to get themselves into that new stadium. And who knows what's up with Adrian Peterson coming back? I mean, this – you have every reason to believe that the year off would have just given them, fresh legs for this season. They're going to be playing outside. They still have a decent offensive line. I expect things from the Minnesota Vikings. Probably not a playoff appearance in 2015, but nobody's going to look forward to playing them, that's for sure.
Okay, and Green Bay, of course, you touched on them. A devastating loss in the NFC Championship game last year. The only redeeming factor for Packer fans was the way the Seahawks lost. That was almost worse. But, they were right there. almost could have made the Super Bowl real easy. Had a 21, I think a 21 point lead in that NFC Championship game before they just blew it. So you would think they'd be back where they were and could and are the odds on favorite right now all over the place, or the top favorite as far as Super Bowl winner picks are at this point in the season. So barring injury, do you think that's where the Packers belong?
Of course. I think the Packers should be favored to win the NFC, period, and return to this, or actually get to the Super Bowl this year. You know, unfortunate endings. And it, you know, I'm not sure if you're eating grapes over there, but it sure sounds like sour grapes coming from coming from Eastern Canada there. So I think the Packers just have to survive the season. You know, they've got the talent. You know, they've got people coming. You know, coming off the IR. They've added Ty Montgomery, which I think is just an underrated pick. That guy is just such a dynamic weapon. He kind of reminds me of Percy Harvin in the return game. See if he can. You know, he's had problems making the big plays happen on offense. You know, in transitioning to the NFL level, but he's going to be an exciting player to watch. And you add him to. You know, to Cobb and Nelson and, you know, Richard Rodgers and everything else that they've got going on that offense. And, you know, I believe that last time I checked, number 12 is coming back. So the Packers should be favored in every game that they play, but it may not work out that way.
All right, we'll see. Seattle's going to be tough, too. And they, you know, they've upgraded in Seattle. So 1-4, what's your prediction?
Well, I got Green Bay coming in at 1. I think Detroit's going to be really strong. I think they're going to knock on the door for a wild card, and I think that they're going to give the Packers a hard time in those two games. So Detroit 2, Minnesota 3, and you know, poor John Fox, poor Vic Fangio, but you know, anyone associated with that Chicago Bears organization in the present tense, it's just not a good time for you. So Chicago a distant 4th.
What about you, Steve?
Yeah. Those numbers are probably – he's right on. I mean, you know, Detroit's up and coming, Green Bay, yeah. And, you know, Dave had a little humble pie, but he certainly – the class – his team is the class of the NFC North. And you know the difference when I'm researching, trying to, you know, get some of this stuff for the show, and you go on Green Bay, they always do a commercial before they present highlights and other things. So what do they do in Green Bay? It's a tractor commercial. In Chicago, it's like a cable company, just to kind of show you the difference in the mentality and the mindset and what goes on up north of the border.
I'll tell you, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel doesn't make you watch a video. That's a good source for Packers news. Bob McGinn on the Packers.
He definitely is. And there's nothing wrong with tractors. There's a lot of good farmland in Wisconsin and good farm folks, good farm stock. Anyway, and before we let you go, Jeff, you saw the Rams and the Cowboys out in Oxnard scrimmaging. And all the Rams fans, do you think the Rams are there like next year?
You know, L.A. is an interesting topic that comes up peripherally a lot on Suits and Laterals. And it's, you know, you've got three teams vying for either one spot or two spots. I just don't see a co-op between division opponents and the Chargers and the Raiders there. And, you know, kind of affected Phillip Rivers' decision. He signed that extension there in spite of San Diego's uncertain future that they could be moving to Los Angeles. I think that it's a tease. I think that we got really close, and I think that we're going to start getting farther away until we figure out whether we're going to let Mr. Kroenke move his Rams back to Southern California, or if Mark Davis is going to move his old man's team back down to Los Angeles in just a musical chairs of franchise relocation. But I see it happening. I don't think that it's going to happen for 2016, but 2017, I think it's very possible, and I think L.A. happens before London.
Okay, Jeff Rich, suitsandlaterals.com, and the Sports Byline USA Network, Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time at sportsbyline.com. Jeff, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, and we'll be back with the professor of sports from Toronto, John Poulter, taking a look at Major League Baseball. Little hockey discussion, not that far away, and just a bit of soccer at the end of the next segment. Stay with us on the Weekend Sports Report.
If you have a rodent problem in your home, any remedy is temporary until you prevent them from entering. For a permanent solution, buy Excluder. Rodent and pest barriers, made of a patented blend of coarse stainless steel and polyfibers, Excluder permanently seals holes and crevices where rodents enter. No chemicals or pesticides, and Excluder door sweeps stop entry under your doors. See it all online at buy X, Excluder.com. That's buyxcluder.com. Buyxcluder.com.
When it's vacation time, you make plenty of plans, but do you plan for your plants? I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about how to help your plants survive your summer vacation right after this. What's the first step of any building or repair project? I always make sure I have the tools and materials I need, starting with the Quikrete mobile app. With easy one-touch access, you can watch project video instructions, quickly pull up a material shopping list, and make sure you have what you need, or use the app to figure out how much you need and find out where to buy it. You can even share your finished project via the Quick Share function. It's the tool you can use from start to finish. Download the Quikrete mobile app on the App Store or Google Play today. Most indoor plants are pretty resilient, and left unattended for a week or less, they'll do just fine if you water them thoroughly before you leave and make sure they have adequate light. If you plan to be away longer than a week, you should make arrangements for a friend or neighbor to water the plants. If that's not possible, here's another option. You can create a slow-release watering device for each plant by using plastic soda bottles. Clean a bottle for each plant. Try to match the size of the bottle to the size of the plant. Fill the bottles with water, but before you screw on the caps, drill one or two very small holes in them. Then, just before you leave, turn the bottle upside down and bury it into the soil for each plant container. I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner.
This is Bart Shore, and I want to invite you to visit InternetFM.com. This great site has online stations streaming rock music 24/7, hundreds of podcasts with on-demand music, sports, and talk programs. Also get daily features, music news, and useful links. Our radio stations have limited or no commercials at all. InternetFM.com. It's totally free. No sign-up required. If you love music, then InternetFM.com is for you. Also on Facebook at InternetFM.
Painting just got easier with Handy Paint products. Hey, kick the bucket, paint like a professional with fewer spills and faster cleanups with the Handy Paint Pail and Paint Cup. Easy come, easy roll, the Handy Paint Tray, Roller Cup, and Roller Pail are perfect for all projects big and small. And if you're climbing the ladder, use the multi-use Handy Ladder Pail for all your projects, the safe way to transport paint and tools on a ladder. Painting just got easier with Handy Paint Pail products.
Hey, Packer Dave, it's Pat Hughes of WGN Radio and the Chicago Cubs. I was listening to an old Rod Stewart CD the other day, and for some reason, his lines reminded me of you when he said, "His body stunk, but he kept his funk." Nice talking to you, Packer Dave.
Are those kind of comments really called for? Do I really need to take that kind of crap from Pat Hughes? Anyway, Pat Hughes was a good announcer in Milwaukee when he would do the innings that Bob Uecker would not do. Now he's a play-by-play man for the Cubs, doing a great job. I am Packer Dave along with Steve Leventhal. It is the Weekend Sports Report. Catch us at internetfm.com, like FM radio, internetfm.com. You can also catch us at PackerDaveShow.com. Real easy, big link right there, PackerDaveShow.com. And Mile High Radio on Friday afternoons. That's Friday mornings, actually, out west. Check it out, MileHighRadio.com and on TuneIn.com. Catch us a lot of different places. The Weekend Sports Report with Packer Dave, Steve Leventhal, and this guy from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We bring in our professor of sports, John Poulter. John, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thanks, Dave. How about you?
I'm doing fine. Say hello to your friend Steve here.
And Steve, always good to chat with you as well.
It's funny, Pat sure has Dave's number pegged.
You really mean that when it's you say good to talk to you, Steve? You know, sometimes people just kind of throw that out there. And they, do you really mean it, John, from the bottom of your heart? Do you?
Hey,
he does mean it.
We, we all have to be polite. I mean, it's just the same way as when you ask somebody, how are they? You really don't know, and it's really not that important. But it's always, you know, like, how are you today? I mean, you know, the person could be feeling like absolute dirt, and they always say, oh, I'm fine, thanks. How are you? You know, it's one of those things in society we all get used to over time. It's a public courtesy.
Oh, Dave and I know a couple people. If you ask them how they're doing, and it becomes a 30-minute discussion, right?
Yeah, of course. It wasn't really a rounding approval there from John on you, Steve. But he said he kind of says that to everybody. So let's just keep that in mind as we go forward. Steve, got to work to impress John. He knows his stuff. All right, John, we're going to talk Major League Baseball right now. And I want some of your surprise teams at this point in the year and some of your disappointing teams. And, of course, because you're in Toronto, the Blue Jays are pretty surprising right about now, recently, last couple weeks. Really coming from way back. Were they 8 games back or more, and really got themselves right back into the thick of it?
Yeah, they were very close to 8. I think it was about 8.5 at the worst part, Dave, so you're right in the ballpark. It's been a surprise only because of the way that it has happened. You take a look at the team on paper, there's a great amount of talent there, and I'm looking at guys like Bautista, Donaldson, Encarnacion, Russell Martin. There's all kinds of talent there, but they were just short on the pitching, and they made about 3 or 4 big moves right before the trade deadline, as we talked about a week or two ago. And basically, they've reshaped the whole roster, and Anthopoulos, general manager Alex Anthopoulos, has done a pretty good job of it. He only ended up giving up one player off the Major League roster, and that was Jose Reyes, and he capably replaced him with Tulowitzki from Colorado in the same deal. So basically what they've done is they've mortgaged the near future for the immediate presence, and hopefully it's going to pay off for them. That's a division that can be had, and I've said all season that every team in the American League East at the start of the season had some warts, and the team that hit its warts the best would be the one that ended up winning at the end of the year, and I think it'll still shake out that way.
A lot of excitement in Toronto recently, of course. And the stadium, they're selling a lot of tickets, and there's a lot of fake tickets out there I saw on the news recently, too.
Well, that's probably because the Blue Jays went to this electronic ticketing system this year. There are no paper tickets or no cardboard tickets as we traditionally know baseball tickets being issued anymore. Season seat subscribers have a pass card that's about the size of a credit card. It's sort of like a stored value card, I guess is the best way to put it, and your tickets are on there. If you're buying tickets at the box office, or you're buying game day tickets anywhere, you get them in paper format and they're sent to you by email. You print them off, there's a barcode on them, and you scan the code as you go into the stadium. So I think that's probably where most of these fake tickets are coming from. It would be fairly easy to duplicate those. And if two people were to go in at the same time, I'm not sure that with the same ticket, I'm not sure that the system would be sophisticated enough to recognize that. But we all know that when you do anything that's technology related, if you invent it today, there was somebody working yesterday around with a workaround of a way to beat it.
All right. Well, now some of the other surprise teams to you in the majors right now.
Well, I guess the obvious one is the Houston Astros. Everybody thought that the Astros were building for 2017. I think the Astros had even indicated themselves that they saw 2017 as being their goal in terms of being a competitive and successful team, and they're probably a couple of years ahead of themselves. They've played really, really well. They've taken advantage of Seattle not playing well and Los Angeles Angels not playing well, so they've been in the right place at the right time. They would have to be everybody's biggest surprise. Right along with them, I would say, is their state mates, the Texas Rangers. We all looked at Texas at the start of the season and thought that they were at the bottom of a very long rebuilding curve. And they, with that division being so tight and so competitive, they've managed to get themselves back into that. They're in with a shot at the wild card. I don't think they can win the division. I just don't think that anybody's going to catch Houston unless it's the Angels. And I guess the other big surprise is the New York Mets. We've talked for years about the Mets, excuse me, and their pitching staff. They finally have some hitting. They've taken advantage of the Washington Nationals not playing all that well, and all of a sudden the Mets find themselves with a reasonable lead in that division.
All right, John Poulter, our professor of sports with us from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. We're talking baseball right now. And what about some of the disappointing teams out there, John?
Well, I guess there's a couple of real obvious ones there, too. The Boston Red Sox, having spent all that money to sign some free agents, made a couple of trades, thought that they were on the right track. Obviously, they're not. Again, they're in a division that everybody thought all they had to do was step up and have a good winning streak and they could clinch that division. They find themselves totally out of it. They're probably the one team in the division that really has no hope of winning it this year and of even making the postseason. And they've spent a lot of money and, of course, big changes in the front office in Boston this week with Dave Dombrowski coming on board as the president of baseball operations, i.e. head honcho, and the resignation of a longtime Red Sox employee Ben Cherington from the GM position. So I think that the Red Sox probably would be the biggest disappointment. This one's going to hurt you a little bit when I talk about it, but I don't think your Milwaukee Brewers expected to be anywhere near as bad as they have been. I mean, that collapse last year we thought was just a one-off. We hoped it was just a one-off, but it seems to have lasted for the whole of this season. And again, another general manager change there last week with Doug Melvin stepping aside, probably on the understanding that he felt that it was better for the Brewers in a rebuild to have a younger, newer general manager sort of see the process through. I guess Seattle is a team that I think has been disappointing at the start of the season. I thought Seattle might be the best team in the American League. That just shows you what I know because they're not even playing 500 ball, even with probably the best pitcher in the league in Felix Hernandez. They're struggling. And the Washington Nationals are a disappointment, not because of where they are in the standings. They're still in the hunt for a wild card spot. They may still even win that National League East, but again, I thought Washington was the best team in the National League on paper when I looked at it at the end of spring training. I can't believe a team with all that talent is struggling the way that it is. So those would be my four major disappointments. And I guess one surprise that I should have added was the Minnesota Twins. They've sort of hit a little bit of reality in the last 2 weeks. But up until then, Paul Molitor had them playing great baseball. And that was a team that we really didn't see going anywhere either.
Yeah, Dave's sitting there looking at me like, you know, what are you doing there? And you're asking all the questions, Dave, so how am I supposed to jump in here? But I will pose the question to John about the Cubs.
Okay.
On Tuesday night, had a really tough game against Detroit besides having a two-hour rain delay. Went got behind, tied it up, only to give it up later in the game and eventually fall 10-8 at about 1 o'clock in the morning in Chicago time. So I can't imagine anybody in Detroit who was on the East Coast time being able to stay up to watch that game. And you know, that's a big series, Cubs Tigers, because both of those are you know, Tigers are in first place in their division, and the Cubs are trying to stay in the wild card hunt.
Well, I'm one of those that didn't stay up to watch that because obviously I'm in the same time zone as Detroit. I saw little bits of the highlights of that game on the sports highlights the day following the game. So didn't get a chance to sit and watch the game. But I think the Cubs have had that nice little run. I think they won 9 in a row. And all of a sudden, they find themselves still in the pennant race or still in the wild card race. I don't think they can catch the Cardinals. I think they can probably catch Pittsburgh if they play well and if they win the head-to-head series they still have with Pittsburgh. Cubs have come a long way. I don't expect the Cubs to win anything this year, but the mere fact that they're competitive and that once again they're raising the Cubs fans' hopes of getting back into the postseason and perhaps winning a World Series after 110 years or whatever it is, I guess 108 or 109 now and counting. It's great to see them come back, but I guess they've been a surprise to some extent, but we knew that the Cubs had a great farm system, and we also know that the Cubs are never afraid to write a check, and they hired themselves a good manager in John Madden, so it looks like it's all coming together for them.
John Madden's rapidly becoming a bit of a folk hero here in Chicago.
Yeah, I guess that shouldn't surprise us from the standpoint that he is very much a player's manager, and I think Phil Myers pointed out in our show last week that Madden has empowered the players, and he's basically let them be men. And I think the players appreciate that. And perhaps Madden is one of the guys we're looking at as the model of what the new Major League Baseball manager does look like.
Well, and I know it goes back a few generations here, but you know, it's quite an opposite style from the Dusty Bakers and the Lou Piniellas with their, you know, ironclad, tight-fisted reign. And you know, you can really see the difference that players are having a good time. And yeah, John Madden is like one of the guys.
Yeah, go back even further, Steve, to when you and I were youngsters and Leo DeRocher was running the Cubs, and there's a guy that really ruled with an iron hand. So it's part of the evolution of the change in the manager style that we're seeing these days. Madden perhaps is a little bit different because he came to the majors as a relatively mature individual. I believe he was in his mid to late 40s when he started managing in Tampa. But for years and years, we saw recycled managers that were part of the furniture, part of the organization, very set in their ways, friends of the owner. Now we're seeing guys that are progressive, in many cases, guys that are not that far removed themselves from the playing ranks. And I think that helps them associate with today's modern day player.
Well, and if you want to look ahead to this weekend, I mean, a lot, besides all the teams being playing, probably the only matchup with a couple of division leading or playoff contending teams would be the Giants traveling to Pittsburgh to face the Pirates.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting series because I think the Giants, Pittsburgh, and the Cubs are probably the three teams that are in the thick of that wild card race for those two National League wild card spots. Schedule-wise, pretty tough week for the Giants. Of course, they've got that series in St. Louis, followed by a series in Pittsburgh. Two of the teams that they have to play good ball against. There's no easy spots on the schedule. Then I think the Giants go home for a little while, and we'll see what happens there. And the Giants are another team that have been surprising from the standpoint of how they have got there. They've been very streaky, and it started in spring training where they were absolutely horrible. I think there was something like 8-18 or 10-23 or something like that in spring training. I know they were a long ways below 500. They sputtered out of the gate, then they went on a hot streak, then they sputtered again, then there was a hot streak, then there was a sputter. All depends on when that team gets it together, and we've seen in the last few years that when the Giants get into the postseason, they're foreign to winning the World Series from the wild card spot.
All right, John, let's move to hockey now. And I know the season is a ways away. First off, before we do that, players you're impressed with in major leagues and players you're disappointed with. And then we'll move to hockey. But wanted to get that in real quick.
Well, I guess two players that I'm impressed with are Paul Goldschmidt of the Arizona Diamondbacks. He seems to be solidifying himself as a true star, and he's playing in a less than popular baseball market, and I don't mean that derogatorily. Arizona has never been seen as a sort of strong baseball market in terms of regular season baseball, but I think Goldschmidt has proved himself to be a consistent power player, power hitter, and good player, and I think he's committed to staying with the Diamondbacks. The other guy that I guess has really impressed me and perhaps shouldn't have done because I had seen him play when he was with Oakland is Josh Donaldson, the third baseman with the Toronto Blue Jays. He's leading the majors in RBIs as we speak, and he's actually a better player than I anticipated. I knew he was good, but he's one of those guys that when you see him play every day, you really appreciate how good he is. In terms of disappointments, I guess the big one is, no pun intended, is Pablo Sandoval. I wonder if his weight has caught up with him because at the time the Giants didn't re-sign him. I kind of thought bad move on the Giants' part. He was a folk hero. I've seen him play in Boston this year. Now I understand why they didn't want to re-sign him. Big contract, big bust as far as I'm concerned.
All right, let's move to hockey now and give us the teams that you think are going to be right up there. The Blackhawks, of course, the big winner last year, and it's an early look, but like to check it out. What do you think?
Well, I'm gonna say that I can see four teams as being key players in the 15-16 season, and I guess there's no surprise when I tell you that the four teams I'm thinking of are the LA Kings, the Blackhawks, the New York Rangers, and the Tampa Bay Lightning. They all have solid bases, good strong teams, good strong management. I can see those teams coming back to the fore. I think Chicago probably has the toughest road of those four teams for a number of reasons. Number one being the fact that they're the defending champions, so everybody is going to be gunning for them. Number two, for the third time in six seasons, they've gone deep into the playoffs and gone to the very last game, winning three times. So it's a lot of miles on some of those guys. Third thing that might hurt the Blackhawks is the constant turnover that they find themselves faced with simply because of the salary cap issue and the fact that they sign good players to good contracts, and that forces a lot of turnover. And then, of course, there's the unfortunate uncertainty over the Patrick Kane situation, and I don't really want to go there because it's a legal issue, but until that is resolved one way or the other, you're looking at a huge superstar that may or may not be able to play for the Blackhawks this year. And if nothing happens in terms of a final decision in terms of the legal issue, you have to think that it would be on his mind and therefore would affect his play, and that's going to hurt the Blackhawks without question.
All right, John, and some of the other teams that you think may give the Blackhawks a run for their money?
Well, St. Louis are always there. They're doing a little bit of reshaping as well, nothing major. The Minnesota Wild are in that division, so you always know that there's going to be a good team coming in Minnesota. They pushed the Blackhawks quite a bit last year, so I can see that being a tightly contested division. And whether Nashville can come back and have another strong season the way that they did in 14-15 will be something that we need to watch. If Nashville can come along and play the same kind of hockey they played last year, they're going to give the Blackhawks a heck of a run for their money as well.
Very good. All right. And finally, in this segment, John and Steve, I know you guys like talking soccer, so a few minutes at the end of the program here, let's devote it to soccer. Go ahead, Steve. Fire away.
Well, the biggest disappointment or good thing, depending on your rooting side, of course, was Manchester City gave Chelsea all they could handle with their substitute goalie and beat them 3-0 behind Aguero and a number of other strong plays. Chelsea did not look very good in that game.
No, Chelsea's got some problems. And as we alluded to last week when we chatted, Mourinho seems to be once again right in smack in the middle of the tornado, as he often is when there's a tornado in West London. As a Manchester United fan, I was disappointed that the game was 3-0. I was hoping for a tie for obvious reasons, because a tie allows Manchester United to gain 2 points on both teams. As it is, we only gain points on Chelsea. So it's still early, but Chelsea find themselves in significant arrears in terms of the two Manchester teams. That's got to be worrying them. Liverpool being 5 points behind Liverpool might be worrying them some, but I don't see Liverpool as being one of the top three or four teams. And certainly Leicester City has played well above what everybody expected they would. And they're still sitting at the top with Liverpool and the two Manchester teams with 6 points. We all know that's not going to last, so I don't think Chelsea are losing too much sleep over being 5 points behind Leicester City, but they have to wonder about being 5 points behind Manchester United, Liverpool, and Manchester City. If I was Mourinho, I think I'd be hoping this week against West Bromwich Albion that the real Chelsea shows up.
Yeah, and the big game this weekend, of course, is Arsenal and Liverpool.
Yeah, that's the Monday game this week. It's in London. I'm looking forward to that. I think we're going to find out just how good Liverpool is in terms of their improvement, and we're going to find out whether Arsenal is really a serious player in terms of the top four. I was very surprised that they lost their first game at home to West Ham. They did come back and win 2-1 at Crystal Palace last week. So that was expected, but I quite frankly expected Arsenal to be up there with 6 points after two games, as well as the other teams we've mentioned.
And Liverpool lost Raheem Sterling, but they've sort of upgraded perhaps with the addition of Benteke, who scored a goal, in the only goal in the last weekend's game.
Yeah, and it was a good goal, but I quite frankly I thought Bournemouth came out on the short end of the stick in terms of a bad decision. They had an early goal disallowed, which I've seen several times in replay, and I really don't understand why it was disallowed. To me, it looked like the player was onside, but the referee and the linesman had the instant decision that he was offside. And I think if Bournemouth could have scored that goal, it might have changed the whole tempo of that game.
And then the Liverpool goal was questionable because Benteke took a, you know, one of the other players was also in the mix. Even though he didn't touch the ball, he probably influenced the play. So it could have easily been 1-0 the other way, although Benteke did have one that went right off the crossbar that probably would have gone in two centimeters lower.
And at the end of the day, you have to believe that Liverpool is a better team than Bournemouth, so perhaps a fair result. But on the day, I think Bournemouth deserved a lot better than coming away with a 1-0 loss.
All right. Soccer, right here on the Weekend Sports Report. He is our professor of sports from Toronto, John Poulter. John, another good week. Thanks for all the good info, and we'll do it again next week, my friend. All right?
You betcha. Look forward to it, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you then, John Poulter. And so, for John, for Steve, and for myself, we got to say thank you for listening to the Weekend Sports Report. Remember, get us at internetfm.com. That's internetfm.com or PackerDaveShow.com.
Where's the Packer Dave Band playing this weekend?
This weekend, we're not playing. We're not playing till after Labor Day, but look for a full slate of events throughout the remainder of September and into early October. Check out the schedule, trophyhusbandsband.com, if you happen to be in the Niagara Falls area. All right. Have a great week. Thanks for listening. Take care. See you next week. Bye now.
Did you know that the average yearly repair bill for a car 5 years or older is more than $1,200? Having repair coverage for your car just makes sense, but the trick is not to overpay for it. With Toco Warranty, you can get a highly rated vehicle protection plan usually for less than a tank of gas per month. And now, we're offering a zero down payment program. To get a great car vehicle protection plan at a super low price, call Toco Warranty at 1-800-987-3157. That's 1-800-987-3157. Terms and conditions apply.
Are the cracks in your asphalt driveway starting to look like your roadmap? I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and we'll talk about getting that drive back in shape right after this.
Mold on your siding, moss on your roof, mildew on your deck. The easiest way to get rid of it all is with Wet and Forget Outdoor. There's no scrubbing, no rinsing, and no pressure washing. Just spray and leave. Wet and Forget Outdoor is bleach-free and safe for virtually any outdoor surface. Siding, roofing, concrete, stone, stucco, even fabric. Just spray and you're done with Wet and Forget Outdoor. Get Wet and Forget Outdoor at the Home Depot or visit wetandforget.com for a store near you.
Asphalt is pretty rugged stuff, but as the years and each season passes, Mother Nature has a way of breaking it down. Sun oxidizes it, leaving it brittle and prone to cracks. Those cracks allow water under the surface, which will erode the drive's foundation or freeze and expand, making the cracks even worse. But if you fill those cracks with an asphalt repair caulk, as soon as you discover them, you can stop most of the damage before it stops. To prevent even more cracking, apply an asphalt sealer to the driveway to interrupt the oxidizing process. You'll need to clean the surface first and then watch the weather. Most of these sealers have to be applied above a specific temperature, so summer is the perfect time. This project is easy, relatively inexpensive, and a large squeegee is the only tool you'll need. I'm Danny Lippard with Tips for Today's Homeowner.
If you want to stop moisture from coming into your home, think Ames. Apply Ames coatings to waterproof and protect roofs, basement walls, and decks. Ames adhesive high-strength elastomeric liquid rubber coatings are impenetrable. Extreme moisture protection. Look for the Ames Blue Max, Maximum Stretch, and Safety Deck brands at your local hardware store or see amesresearch.com. That's A-M-E-S research.com, amesresearch.com.
The Year in Sports, a presentation of CRLRadio.com. I'm Bob Terrell. Join us in 1987 on The Year in Sports. The Washington Redskins finished 1987 with a 14-4 season in the NFC, making them the best in the league. That season culminated in a Super Bowl victory over the Denver Broncos, and the Redskins making history by starting the first African-American quarterback in a Super Bowl, Doug Williams. In the NBA Finals, it was the LA Lakers over the Boston Celtics 4-2. The key moment of the series was Magic Johnson's junior skyhook in Game 4. The 1987 World Series, named the Series on the Mississippi, Mississippi, with both cities located on the banks of the Mississippi, saw the Minnesota Twins beating the St. Louis Cardinals 4-3, giving the Twins their first World Series victory since 1924. And in Stanley Cup playoff action, it was Wayne Gretzky's final season with the Edmonton Oilers. They took their fourth Stanley Cup in 5 years by sweeping the Boston Bruins 4-0. I'm Bob Terrell. Thanks for joining us in 1987 on The Year in Sports, a presentation of CRLRadio.com.
Painting just got easier with Handy Paint products. Hey, kick the bucket, paint like a professional with fewer spills and faster cleanups with the Handy Paint Pail and Paint Cup. Easy come, easy roll, the Handy Paint Tray, Roller Cup, and Roller Pail are perfect for all projects big and small. And if you're climbing the ladder, use the multi-use Handy Ladder Pail for all your projects, the safe way to transport paint and tools on a ladder. Painting just got easier with Handy Paint Pail products.
If you have a rodent problem in your home, any remedy is temporary until you prevent them from entering. For a permanent solution, buy Excluder. Rodent and pest barriers, made of a patented blend of coarse stainless steel and polyfibers, Excluder permanently seals holes and crevices where rodents enter. No chemicals or pesticides, and Excluder door sweeps stop entry under your doors. See it all online at buyXcluder.com. That's buyXcluder.com. buyXcluder.com.